Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
Life is filled with choices. Many are trivial choices, choices that we make on the spur of the moment. But some are of much greater importance. Some have life or death consequences. Yet we have found a confounding habit about perceiving dangers. We perceive all kinds of things will hurt us while ignoring the real things that are harming us. Just a few years ago, we had an epidemic warned. And I don't know about you, but bird flu came to all of our minds and hearts as we fled from the opportunity to get the bird flu. But at the same time, we have to be bullied because, you see, the bird flu took no lives in the United States of America, not one. But we have to be bullied into taking a shot in the arm which would keep us from catching the common flu, which kills 36,000 people a year in America. Some of us are afraid to fly. We're called white-knuckle flyers. And we'd rather drive. I'd rather find a reason to drive than to fly quite often. But there are only about 200 people that die in America from crashes of airplanes a year, while 44,000 people die in automobile accidents. Those are priorities. We make it a priority to do these things. We kind of get anguish in our hearts when we've heard that mad cow disease might be in your hamburger, while ignoring the fact that the cholesterol in every burger you eat makes you 700,000 times more deadly than the mad cow disease will ever make. Because 700,000 people a year die of high cholesterol in this country. We put off hearing about how we can escape the hell fire that is coming to all of those who do not accept Jesus Christ as Savior, because we're more interested in a football game. Is that preacher going to get me out on time? By the way, you know the old story. When a preacher looks at his watch, you know what it means? Absolutely nothing. Means nothing. But we want to get out. We want to beat the Presbyterians to the restaurant so we can die of cholesterol that much faster. It seems as too many of our decisions are kind of automatic. We just do things out of habit. We do things. Some come through struggles in our lives. It comes down to us making a decision that is probably the most important decision you will ever make. And that is, who will you focus your life on? Will it be the dreams of the world, the power and
prestige and the celebrity and fame and the fortune that you're looking for? Or will it be on Jesus Christ? That's the most important priority we can make. And it's the most important priority of our lives. Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, speak to us today. We gather here in this place to hear from you. No one gathered to hear from me. My words are nothing. My words are far less than nothing. But they have come to hear you speak. They want to hear the words of life and death. That is why we've come. We've come because you brought us to this place. You brought us to this moment in time where you will set out for us a priority, where we choose death or will we choose life. Father, we ask that you will cast my words out. They're nothing. Nor are all the words that I have studied this past week in preparation. They are nothing. All of the commentaries, all of the things that I have read and studied are nothing. Your word is everything. We pray that you will speak to each of our hearts today. May you speak through your word. May you speak in a language that we understand. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'm going to be reading today through Mark, from Mark 10, verse 17, through Mark 31. Now Mark is writing his letter so that people will know not just what he's saying, but that they will know the Holy Spirit of God because of what God does. And he chooses in this passage to talk about the priorities of life. It says, now, in verse 17, now as he was coming out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Is there a bigger question than that? What must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? Good teacher, good pastor, good anyone. Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And the man answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and said, Children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were gravely astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters, mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. We have a choice. You know, all the things that I read by all the learned men of theology this last week talked about possessions or God. You have a choice. That is the choice that they laid out. That is why they preach on this passage as being a passage that focuses on the rich. And all of us are rich. Every one of us is richer than the Pharaoh of Egypt ever dreamt of being. For we have to but turn on the light switch and lights come on. We have to drive down the street in an automobile which the Pharaoh never even thought about. The chariot that you drive is much superior to the one he even imagined. You turn on a TV set and it entertains you. And you can switch channels and it can entertain you or not more. Pharaoh, in all of his riches, never dreamt of that. Never dreamt of having a phone that you could use that has more battery power and more memory than the computers that sent man to the moon. He never envisioned that. So all of us are rich. All of us are rich compared to others who live in other parts of the world, who are living in dumps and eating what trash is thrown away by others. I watched a BBC special on a person who was over many years. They went back and forth and back and forth to this dump where this young girl had lived all of her life. And they followed her for over 20 years living in this dump. And they ate what was left over from the people in Moscow who they would not eat something, they would throw it away. And those people ate the throwaway. Compared to those kinds of existence, we are very wealthy. But that is not what this passage is about. Oh, this passage is about you and I. But this passage doesn't have to do with just that. In Mark, it says that the man went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. That's not the only reason the man went away sorrowful. When we are called to pick up a cross and follow Jesus, we're asked to empty not just our pockets, but ourselves. We're to empty ourselves. We sang just a moment ago about how faithful God was and how we should be willing to give everything as an offering to Him. Our lives, our very lives, are an offering to God. And whether you spill your offering on the way to church in argument, or whether you spill your argument out into the street with a person who's also driving in the same street you are, and you honk your horn at them. Whatever it is, we need to surrender before God, because that is the question. What is your priority? Is your priority stuff? I can tell you how to get stuff. As a matter of fact, the best-selling books of all time is the Bible. The second best-selling book of all times is a How to Get Rich book. Oh, that's easy. You want stuff? You can have stuff. You can clutter your life with stuff. But that's not what this passage is about. People often have questions for Jesus. They question Him on all kinds of things, but the most important question, the question that faces every single solitary one of us, is what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why did He ask that question of Jesus? Why? Have you thought about that? Why did He ask the question of Jesus? Why does He ask the question of you or me or anyone? Why that question is asked to this person? Maybe He knew of Jesus' miracles. Maybe He knew that Jesus raised the sick. Maybe He knew that He brought people back to life from the dead. Maybe He knew that He had power over the winds and the waves. Maybe He didn't. What we don't know, we don't know. But we know this, that for whatever reason, He asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus did not simply answer him with the traditional way of answering. You know, many rabbi in those days would have said, riches are a sign of God's pleasure. He likes you. That's the reason you're fat and happy and you don't have any worries in this life because of the wealth you have. That's what they had been taught all of their lives. They had been raised on that. And that's why they were greatly amazed when He said, riches, how hard it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Because it confronted everything they knew. Jesus responded to the man by telling him to keep the commandments of old. Now, He lists six commandments here. Notice that all six of the Ten Commandments that He lists, that Jesus responds to the man with, have to do with the man living in relationship to other people. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and your mother. All of these are contracts that people love one another. That is the major theme of what He responds to the man who is asking the question. The man says, "I have done these things from my youth. I have been good with people. I have never murdered anyone. I've never stolen anything. I've always honored my mother and father. I've done these things." Jesus loved him. Jesus loves all of us. He loves us as sinners. And He certainly loved this man, because this man asked Him the right question at the right time, and He asked in humility. It says He knelt down. That is a sign that the rich young ruler was bowing down before the person he had designated to give him the answer to the most important question he would ever ask. And Jesus, who loved the young rich man, says to him in verse 21, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. The young man was shocked. He had not been expected to be told any more than the disciples who had left shipping fleets. Oh yes, Peter's father had many boats. You might call it a fleet of fishing boats. And you didn't sell fish to the poor, by the way. You sold it to the people who could afford it. People who could afford to buy a fish were people of wealth. And so, he had dealt with that. All of these people had dealt with that all their life. And so this young man, he was shocked. He had not expected to give up everything he had, to sell everything you have and to give it away. But as Drew said, we're expected to give our whole lives away, everything that is within us away. It's not just a matter of giving something to buy your way into heaven. No, that will not work. You can't buy your way to heaven. You give your way because Jesus gave himself for you. You receive Jesus. Jesus takes you to heaven. But, you know, verse 22 says the young man went away sad because he had great possessions. The question is not simply one of possessions. It's not simply a question of rich man, poor man. Well, I know that a lot of people use Scripture to try to politicize the Scripture, to make it say what they want it to say. Redistribution of wealth and all the rest of that. The Bible doesn't say that. It does say that the answer the rich man had, and that every man had, and that every man has, it's not enough to rid yourself of things, things that distract you, things that are there, things that you close your arms around, things that you desire, pleasures that you have, whether it's drinking or what. And the Bible doesn't say anything about that. It does say that we're to empty ourselves of everything that gets in the way of following Jesus. In verse 23, we're told that Jesus looked at the rich young ruler, and perhaps I'm just theorizing this now because this is not in the Scripture. But I think Jesus sighed. He loved the young man. The young man turned and walked away. I'm sure Jesus watched him walk and sighed. How hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? His disciples listening to that, they could not believe it. It went against everything they'd been taught. They'd been taught that wealth was something that you should ascribe to or you wanted to have because basically that meant that you were pleasing God. Jesus said how hard it is, again, to them. Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches. See, now here's the word trust. If you place your trust in what men can give you, then you only have what men can give you. If you place your trust in God, He is able to give you everything. All the things your heart desires. Everything. But those who were following Jesus were taken back. They were surprised. Everything they valued, everything they thought that they had been taught seemed to be in conflict with what Jesus was saying. They had learned in school when they all went to biblical school until they were 12 and They had learned to memorize the Torah, the five books of the Bible. And they memorized that, and they were taught over and over again that God didn't like the sick, that that was their own affliction, that that was their own problem. That's the reason lepers were not to be touched, because it says by the rabbinical thought that that person with leprosy had to be at least 10 feet away from you, and that was downwind, not upwind, or you could stone him to death if he came even that close to you. Jesus broke all those barriers. He broke all those traditions. He walked over and touched the leper. He laid hands on him. He healed the leper. Cared about people. They were concerned. They asked each other. They said, "Who can then be saved? Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them, and knowing their doubts, no doubt, in my mind, that he knew their doubts. And he said, "With men it is impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible." And Peter, you know, Peter always had hoof and mouth disease. He always had his foot in his mouth. I love Peter, but he was just like me. He always was stepping on his own stuff. And Peter said, "Look, we have followed you. We've sold everything we had. We've given away our wives." Peter was married. He had a wife. We find that out when the story of Capernaum about healing his mother-in-law. He had a wife. He had left them. He had left everything. He had left his fishing boats. He had left everything, his father's fishing fleet, and he had followed Jesus. He said, "Look, we have done this, and we followed you. Don't we get eternal life?" And Jesus answers him this way. Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospel shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, but in the age to come, eternal life. The many who are first will be last." You know what that says to me? You can't outgive God. I have that in my own experience. I watched a little bit back in the sound booth. Paul told about an personal experience he had. I take that as an opportunity to share with you about a personal experience I had. I thought I was giving to the Lord. I was putting down the floor. Now, you can't see the floor anymore because it's now covered up. But I put down tiles on the floor of the thing. I was down on my knees putting down the tiles on the floor. And I thought I was giving my time and my effort and my money because I'd bought the tile. And I was laying them down. Not a very good job, but I was laying them down. And people came in and they went, "Oh, wow, I can't believe the pastor's on his knees laying it." It didn't make any difference to me. I couldn't. But you know something? I got enough money from the mail from someone I didn't know that covered the cost of the thing I was trying to do. And so when we had the new floor put down, and it now needs some work itself, but when we had the new floor put down, I was the one that put up the money. Except I got another check in the mail that exactly covered the cost of the floor. You can't give God. You cannot do it. I was talking to a person who many of you may think has wealth, and he was talking about how his investments had grown. I really felt bad because my investments haven't grown. The investments that people are making for me, I don't make any myself.
But he was talking about 14% interest in this. I'm going, wow, you know, inside. I'm going, great. Super. I can't even comprehend that. Because if I get 1% on money that I put in the bank someplace, I'm happy as a jaylark. 14%, I'd be dancing all around. Jesus says that you're going to get all of this back. It's going to be shaken down, overflowing in your life to the point where you don't have to do it anymore because I'm going to give to you that way. But the ones who are still wrapped up with their traditions and their concerns over stuff didn't understand Jesus' teachings. They were just men. They're just like us. We all see through a glass, but darkly. Every one of us. All the people who, very learned people whose text I looked at and sermons I read this past week in preparation for this little thing I'm doing today, none of them would agree with what I'm saying. So we see through a glass, but dark. But they did know that Jesus was the one they were following. They followed Jesus. Jesus is teaching us that wealth or poverty is not what we should be looking at, not the circumstances of our lives today. We should be looking at eternal things. Our whole dependence should be not on stuff, but on God. There was a man, I'm going to call him Jose. He was an old man. When I visited Mexico City, I saw this guy sitting there in the marketplace. I wasn't the person in the story, so. But Jose was sitting there, and he was selling his onions. And he had 20 strings of onions. And there were onions, you know, on a string. And an American tourist walked up to this old man named Jose and said to him, "How much is a string of your onions?" And the old man looked up and said, 10 cents. So the American had been taught that it was good to bargain with people, that they expected to be bargained with. And he realized that that was also expected in a polite sort of way. And so he asked his second question. He said, "How much if I take 2 strings? Of onions?" And the old man, Jose, said, "That would be 20 cents. And so the American said, "Well, what if I take all 20 strings of your onions? How much would that be?" And Jose said, I couldn't do that. I couldn't sell you 20 strings of onions. That's all I have." He said, "Let me tell you." He said, "My life, I love my life, and my life is different. I love coming here to the market. I like the reds of the peppers and the greens of the plants. I love to watch the people come and go. I like it." He said, I like it when they say, you know, "Good day. Buenas tardes. Buenos dias." I like it. I like it when they sit down and tell me about their babies and their crops. I like that. Yeah, I love it. I love my life here. So I could not sell one customer 20 strings of onions. He said, because then my day would be ended. And my love of the life that I live here in the market would be gone. I would never do that. He said, "No, no, señor. Pardon. No, no. Por favor. Vaya con Dios. Go with God. I cannot do what you ask. I cannot sell my onions." that man, Jose, had more of an understanding of what these scriptures mean than all the highly educated people that I have read this past week. Because he knew that to live life simply, to be thankful in all things for everything we get, for the sight that we have, of the colors that we have, of the wind blowing in our face, of people walking back and forward and saying, Buenos dias, good day, good day. And stopping and talking with him, and that interaction with people kept him alive, kept him going. These are things that come from God. Every good and perfect thing we have comes from God. We should make that the priority of our life, not the acquisition of stuff. Oh, the American couldn't get over it. The American tourist, he said, why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you sell me all of your onions? Because for the American mentality, the more you sold, the more you had, the more you could buy, the more you could, more. Rockefeller was asked one time, what is enough? He said, a little bit more. A little bit more. Pargy in Pargy and Bess sings a song. He says, I got plenty of nothing, and nothing's plenty for me. The rich man, they got to worry about a lock on the door. Someone will come and steal. They want more. What for? I've got the stars in the sky. Got Christ in my heart. I don't need it. I don't need it. God offers you today an opportunity to take your focus off the world and put your focus on Jesus. If you want to put your focus on Jesus, He will give you everything in your heart's desire. He will do that. May not be the way the world looks at it. It's the way He looks at it. He will do for you all things. He will heal your sickness, either in this life or the next. What difference does it make? We're only here a very brief span of time. The only difference it makes is that we do not share what God has done for us. I'm standing here telling you that people were cured of cancer. They're not standing here. They should be. Because they should be telling the world what God has done for them. I love my brothers. I love my sisters. I'm not saying this out of condemnation. I'm saying this because the natural flow of our hearts should be so filled that we say, I wouldn't give this up for anything. You can't buy from me my string of onions. All my strings of onions? No. No. I want them. I want life that God gives me. Abundant life. Life eternal. I want that life. And for that, I'm willing to give up everything I have. Pick up a cross. Empty myself. And follow Him.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.